in Psalm 112. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. I want to speak to you tonight on behavior that God can bless. Several years ago in my personal Bible reading time, as I read through the book of Psalms, I underlined or circled every occurrence of bless or blessing, blessest, blesseth. And in case you're wondering, that's about 60 different occurrences throughout the book of Psalms. And there are over 380 occurrences of the word bless throughout the Bible, which is more than one per day. And the Bible says God loadeth us daily with benefits, with blessings. Blessed, blessing, blessest, blesseth. And the reason I did that is because I have a great desire in my life, and I've had this since I was a teenager, that I greatly desire to have God's blessing in my life. I sincerely desire, I'm thankful for my parents, I'm thankful for the churches that I've attended, I'm thankful for the two pastors that I had and the youth pastor that I had, who I'll see tomorrow. I'm thankful for the men that taught me in Bible college and the people that have invested in me. But there's one thing that I needed that not one of them could give me. My parents couldn't do it. The churches couldn't do it. My pastors couldn't do it. My teachers couldn't do it. My friends couldn't do it. There's one thing I need that no person could give me. I needed the blessing of God in my life. And I wanted it. And I've searched the Scriptures because I want to find what brings God's blessing. I preached recently in Wills Point, Texas about Isaac's altar. I preached it here too, but you probably forgot about it. And I pointed out that God had blessed Isaac for Abraham's sake. And I want my children to be blessed because of me. But then later on it said after Abraham's death that God blessed Isaac for his own sake. And I desire for my children not only to go through their life enjoying the residual blessings of a Christian home and a Christian upbringing and having Christian parents, but I want God to bless them themselves. And I want God's blessing on my life individually as well. I've wanted that since I was a young person, and soon after I got saved, I decided that I wanted God to bless me, and when I had a family, I wanted God to bless my family, and when I had work, I wanted God to bless my work. Now, blessings come from God because God is benevolent. I preached recently about the goodness of God, and I'll not spend long on this point, but there's four kinds of blessings, just to recap from a few weeks ago. There are universal blessings. That's where God makes His Son. Jesus said His Son. We should always remember that the sun that warms us is God's sun. The air we breathe is God's air. The water we drink is God's water. The food we eat is God's food. But Jesus said, My Father maketh His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And so there are universal blessings that everyone enjoys, whether they appreciate it or not, simply because God is so good. And then there are national blessings. I believe, for example, that God blessed Israel with national blessings. Now, everyone in ancient Israel was not righteous. But God still blessed their nation because there was enough righteousness there for God to bless. And I believe in Psalm 33 says, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Now, the people He chose for His own inheritance is Israel. I believe strongly that Israel is God's nation, God's people, that He chose them out of all the pagan nations of the world way back yonder. And God still has promises and covenants yet unfulfilled to Abraham's natural seed. That doesn't mean that a Jew doesn't need Jesus. A Jew needs Jesus like any Gentile needs Jesus. A Jew will go to hell without Jesus like any Gentile will go to hell without Jesus. But I believe as a nation, God has a purpose for that little country and that people that is there over in the Middle East. But I also believe the Bible promises a blessing to any nation that makes Jehovah God their God. Any nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I believe that God has blessed America. I believe God has blessed America more than any nation has been blessed except Israel under Solomon. I believe God has blessed America unlike any other nation, especially in modern times, Because when America was founded, there were enough people that recognized the Lord is God that it brought God's blessings upon our nation. Now, was everyone back then righteous? No. Were all the founding fathers born-again Bible-believing men? No. Were there institutional things in our country that were wrong, like slavery? Yes. But there was enough righteousness, there were enough righteous people in America who identified this book as God's Word, and the God of this book is the God of their country, that God blessed America mightily. I believe we're in a time where I wonder how much longer God can bless us. But I do believe that God can bless a nation when they make God the Lord. Now, I have great sympathy for people in other countries that suffer. Third world countries suffering under dictators and horrible governments. But I tell you, the cure for their nation is not airdropping a bunch of money into their country. The answer for their nation is to make God, the Lord God, their God. And I tell you, the problem with many countries in the world today is the fact that they're controlled by communists, socialists, leftists, Islamists, Buddhists, Hindus, and animalists, and all kinds of religions and ideologies that keep people in bondage and keep people from freedom and keep people in slavery and keep people in poverty while their leaders become billionaires on U.S. foreign aid. And I feel for countries where the people are starving. And where people, you know, you think about China. They just changed the law in China where a family in China can now have 2 children legally. Whereas the God of the Bible said we can be fruitful and multiply and have all the children you want. But in communist China, atheist China, you can now just have 2. And it's forced abortions after that. The problem in China is not the people of China. The problem in China is the government of China. And if the nations of the world would come to the Bible and recognize the Bible as God's Word and recognize God as the God of heaven and seek after His will and seek after His blessings, I believe that some of those nations could have the same blessings that this country has had. And it may be if Jesus tarries His coming, we may see America go down and other nations go up. Because God has promised to bless those who make Him their Lord. You know, Islam keeps millions in the Stone Age. You know the problem in Muslim countries? Islam. I know this isn't politically correct, but that's what's killing it. That's what's killing people around the world, is trying to be politically correct instead of being accurate. Islam is the most vile, violent religion on earth. 130 people killed in Paris. My friend Brother Paul Sharon was there. They're on their 25th anniversary. They were just around the corner when it happened. They're on all the news stations now. You might have seen them. Being called, being interviewed, of bombs going off, being shot to death in movie theater or concert halls. In Israel, they killed 40 so far this year. And you know what gets me, what drives me crazy is Muslims will look at America and they'll say, America is so full of excess. Well, they're Saudi oil men or kajillionaires. And America is full of prostitution. America is full of sexual sin. While they kidnap girls and sell them into sexual slavery. Bunch of hypocrites. Is this too strong for y'all tonight? Bunch of hypocrites. And it's not maybe your neighbor or your coworker that's a Muslim, but I tell you, this is a religion that is rotten at its roots. And if it's rotten at its roots, it's going to be rotten in its fruits. And if a nation will turn back to the Lord or turn to the Lord, I believe God can bless that nation. I believe also that there are family blessings. And I want God to bless my 4 children. And if Jesus tarries His coming, I'd love to live to be an old white-haired man and see my children all married and have grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren. And to see in their lives and families blessings, the blessing of God. And I believe that there are individual blessings that God wants to give to me and give to you. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. There's an individual blessing. Now, God's greatest blessings are contingent on our behavior. Blessed is the man that, and he starts laying out some qualifications. So tonight, I want you to consider just 2 main points, and I'll not be long. Ish. 2 main points. I want you to consider first the blessings of Psalm 112. Notice first a blessed family. Verse 2. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. It's an amazing and powerful testimony to God when a family produces several generations of godly, charactered, righteous men and women. There's a Jewish saying that I know that I've raised my kids right if my grandkids are still Jews. And it's unfortunate that Baptists have not always led the way in family values and in passing on to our children our heritage and our values and, most importantly, our faith. Now, Jonathan, excuse me, Jonathan Edwards was one of the most famous men in colonial America. He was the spark of the Great Awakening because of his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He read it like this. He had no dynamics at all. He read it from a manuscript, and the Holy Spirit of God moved in that church full of Calvinists that had been baptized as babies and never been born again. And he read it, and they were hanging on to the pillars of the church, afraid they were going to fall into hell. And had a great revival. But you know what? Years later, that church fired him. Fired the man who preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. But Jonathan Edwards was the spark of the Great Awakening. He was a godly man, had a very godly wife. That's a powerful team. In 1900, there was a study done of his family in which they traced his descendants and found the following facts. From the family of Jonathan Edwards, it says there were practically no lawbreakers. There were more than 100 lawyers, back when that was a good thing. There were 30 judges, 13 college presidents, 100 or more college professors, 60 physicians, 100 clergymen, preachers, missionaries, and theology professors, 80 elected to public office, including 3 mayors, 3 governors, several members of Congress, 3 senators, and 1 vice president. That 60 of his descendants had been prominent authors with 135 books between them, and 75 had been Army or Navy officers. That's a pretty good testimony. They did a study on another man of his time that was known as a very wicked man, and from his family, they found nothing but a lineage of lawbreakers, drunkards, prostitutes, murderers, criminals, people that had been executed, career criminals, people that spent their life in prison. See, it does matter what we pass on to our children. And the family of the man who fears God, the blessed man, has a blessed family. I know a family in Michigan that has 9 straight generations of independent Baptist preachers in their family. I was listening to a preacher recently. He's the 5th generation of Baptist preacher in his family. And it's not just because that's what Dad did. It's because each of them felt God's call and each of them has served the Lord faithfully. It's an amazing thing. And it doesn't have to be preachers. I'm a preacher, so I always think about preachers. But let me tell you something. There's something to be said for those who raise godly people, who are Sunday school teachers in churches, who raise their kids to live for God, who are godly engineers and godly salespeople and godly farmers and godly welders and godly public servants, etc. But what matters is not passing on a career or a calling, but passing on a faith and a heritage. So that our children, our grandchildren know the Lord and they love the Lord and they're saved and they're passing on to their children and their great-grandchildren. Well, I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, oh, I wish my kids had a heart for God. I want to do everything I can now to try to invest in them and to try to preach to them and try to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I need more than anything else in the world is God's blessings on me so that it filters down to my family. So there's the family blessing. There's the family blessing. Verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Here's financial blessing. Now it is true that many of God's best servants were materially poor, yet wealthy in other regards. Jesus taught us that a man's life does not consist in the quantity of possessions you have, the abundance of possessions that you have. You get to the end of your life, he that has the most toys doesn't take them. It is also true that God-fearing, honest, upright men who obey Bible principles in their finances and business and work life are going to get further ahead than those who live unrighteously, who don't live for God, who don't live by priorities, and don't follow Bible principles. Let me just list some of these other blessings. There's blessings on his family. There's blessing on his finances. There's blessing in dark times. Notice verse 4, unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. Verse 4, He is gracious, full of compassion, righteous. Go down to verse number 6, surely He shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he shall see His desire on His enemies. So blessings on His family, blessing in His finances, blessings in dark times, blessings in adversity, blessings when evil times come, blessings despite His enemies. And verse number 9 says, His horn shall be exalted with honor. So there's the blessing of honor. That's the blessed man. He's blessed in so many areas of his life because he fears the Lord. Now notice the behavior of the blessed man. The first thing we see is that blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. This man lives with a reverential fear of God. Now, we have to understand the fear of God is not like someone living in North Korea, afraid of the secret police catching them and throwing them in a torture chamber, and so they live in a constant state of terror. That's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a reverential, respectful fear, like a child to his father. I guarantee you, my son has a fear of dad. Not because I'm going to go crazy on him and beat him up. Because he loves his dad and wants to please his dad and does not want to displease his dad. That's a reverential fear. And I wrote this statement down years ago. A God-fearing man is not one who sins and then fears the consequences. But one who fears the consequences and therefore does not sin. A God-fearing man is someone who understands that God has set laws in order and there are consequences for decisions and consequences for actions. And so because he fears the consequences and he fears displeasing God, he does not make the wrong decision, he makes the right decision. This man delights in God's commandments. Now, I know folks who delight in the Psalms. I know folks who delight in the stories. I know folks who delight in the parables. I know folks who really delight in prophecy. I mean, they get off on prophecy and you never see them again. They can tell you what the toenails of the beast look like and everything, but they can't. But they're off on rocket ship prophecy, never to return. But I don't know that many Christians who delight in God's commandments, where God says, do this or don't do that. In fact, I see a lot of Christians today that don't want commandments. I'm tired of thou shalt not. I'm tired of rules. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. But the man who is blessed delights in God's commandments. This man displays Christian grace in verse number 4. It says, He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. If you want to be blessed, be gracious. That means be graceful to people. Be compassionate. Be righteous. There's three words I remind myself of every single day. These three words I try to make my guiding principles throughout the day. Number one, integrity. I must live with integrity today. Number two, I must do my duty. Duty is a very important word to me. Number three, I must strive to have compassion. And that's the hard one for me, to some people anyway. But I must have integrity. It matters if I'm honest today. It matters if I pay my bills today. It matters how I treat people today. It matters if I keep my word today. It matters if I do the right thing today. I must have duty. I've got obligations. I don't feel like it. Too bad. I've got a duty to do. I don't feel like it today. I'm tired. The world's run by tired men. I have duty. And I have to have compassion. Sometimes when I'd rather reach out and backhand someone, I gotta remember, hey, I gotta have compassion today. Amen. When I want to blare my horn at somebody and cut them off, I guess, no. Maybe they're having a worse day than I am. I got to have compassion. You know, if you'd live that way, you might find that God will bless when you live with integrity and you take care of your Christian duties and you try to live with compassion. He's gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. Notice in that He takes care of His business, verse 5. He will guide His affairs with discretion. Now, some people are so heavenly minded, they're not of much earthly good. You know, we're to lay up treasures in heaven, but you also got to take care of your stuff down here. You have to guide your affairs with discretion. Did you know that if you were debt-free and had $20, you'd have more money than most people in America? You'd have more than some millionaires if you were debt-free and had $20. Because we have bought into the debt system to such an extent that we're slaves. And I'm not saying I don't have any debt. We've had a couple of tough breaks over the years too, like many of you have. And the economy hadn't been that great for the last 14 years. It's been a long time, hadn't it? Remember how good things were in the 90s? Except for Clinton. Both of them. Oh wait, we still have Clintons, don't we? Still have to worry about them. But I mean, we all have financial setbacks, but man, that shouldn't be a way of life. We have to guide our affairs with discretion. Here's what sometimes young people say about their parents. My parents are such cheapskates. They never want to spend money on anything. They never buy anything fun. They won't do anything cool with their money. And then when the young person doesn't have any money and needs to fix a washing machine or needs to fix a car, you know who they go to? Cheapskate parents, because they actually have some savings. Now think about that. Because I'm not saying all young people are that way, and I'm not saying young people don't ever get in a bind and don't need help from their parents, okay? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that some people, they make fun of the way other people live, and then when they have hard times, they want to cash in on it. Instead of, you know, all of us ought to have some savings. Well, let me move on. The blessed man, you know, what you think is, and you see someone that's been working for 30, 40 years and saving and living, is what a nice house they have, nice stuff they have. You say, man, where did that come from? How about 30, 40 years of living smart and having God's blessing upon them because of it? And if you want that, you can get in on it. Amen? We live in a great country, and any of us can have prosperity. Do you know if you start when you're around 20 years old, almost any of you can retire a millionaire? You really could. I'm not set to do that myself. But if I've taught my kids this, Beth especially, since she's off in college now. That's why she bought a car paid off, and that's why she's paying off her own school. And that's why she's, because we want her to have a better financial standing when she's young than we had when we were young. And I want her to learn things I didn't learn when I was a young person. But if we guide our affairs with discretion, that will bring God's blessings on our life. Well, let's notice verse 7 and 8 will be done. He should not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The blessed man, he trusts God despite his circumstances. Now, I know people that let their bad circumstances get them out of God's will. Tragedy comes, and all of a sudden they're not in the ministry, all of a sudden they're resigning, all of a sudden they're quitting, all of a sudden they're bailing out. And I know other people that go through horrible, heartbreaking tragedy, and they stay in it and serve the Lord. Tomorrow I'm going to go see my old youth pastor, Brother Rob Foreman. And this year, his 22-year-old, 24-year-old daughter was in Bible college in a freak four-wheeler accident, killed with her fiancé, a boyfriend, but they were, you know, set for getting married one day, and they were at a college activity on a four-wheeler, supervised, chaperoned all the night, doing all the right things. There was nothing they were doing wrong. Just on a four-wheeler, all of a sudden a tree limb fell and killed both of them. He didn't drop out of the ministry because of that. They're still serving the Lord. And I'm going to spend some time with them this week. Because I want to be around someone that can go through that kind of tragedy and have enough faith to keep on going. That's the blessed man. That's the blessed man. I want the blessings of God. And I find that the blessed man fears the Lord, delights in His commandments, displays Christian grace, takes care of his business, and trusts God despite his circumstances.